Mark. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And as you were talking about missionaries and such, we had a meeting today with some of our good men in the church, and I thought of this verse, fellas, how good it is for us to dwell together in unity. And we talked a lot about missions, and so I'm just thankful for God's hand of blessing upon this church. I really am. And I think it comes by seeking to honor the Lord through our missions. I've always said for these many years, I think the number one reason God has blessed this church is because of a mission-hearted church, you know, not just mission-minded, but mission-hearted. And so I'm looking forward to the missions conference. Please be in prayer that God would continue to work and bless and just help us to see great things happen this coming missions conference, which is upon us, isn't it? It's just right here. For those that you that don't know, this is the man that leads the singing is my son-in-law, and he's a traffic controller out at Sky Harbor International. But before he was at Sky Harbor, he was at Luke out here directing traffic for the Jets. And our grandson is in Mississippi, and he's just like Larry said, has 2 weeks left. Please pray for him. And we're so proud and thankful for what God is doing in Christian's life. It's amazing. I don't know if he had mentioned it from the pulpit, but before they go into class or testing, those soldiers grab hands and they pray for one another. And I'm just so thankful for that. But it's a miracle of God. I really think it's a miracle of God, because it doesn't happen this way for you veteran Air Force guys and things. When you request a duty station, it always doesn't happen, does it? But God is bringing our grandson back, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks. And I'm just so thankful for that. That's going to be a good shot in the arm. And who knows what the Lord will have him doing. It depends on his schedule, I guess. You know, Larry, if he's here on Sunday and you have to work Sunday starting January, hey, we'll just fill him in with your slot. Teach him how to lead the singing. Okay. But we're thankful for what God is doing there. Well, if you have Hebrews, let's stand together. I'll try not to keep you long, but it's been good. I know the karaoke's and the family, Tracy and Kathy, we've had so good fellowship over the years with Tracy and her husband, haven't we? Missionaries to Kenya. And they are so real and so good and such just wonderful servants of the Lord. And then Daniel Elliott has preached here many times. We knew when he was in Korea, he was on the field of Korea. And then they changed fields kind of, I think, through the prayers of Don Sawatsky, who'll be here in a few weeks, but they needed a pastor out there in a church, and I told Brother Don, I'll have Brother Daniel pray about it, and sure enough, he went out there and preached. Now he's in Canada, and just a great preacher, Daniel Elliott, and his family have a bunch of kids. But are you in Hebrews 11? Look at the verse 38 in chapter 10. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We don't want to draw back. We want to go forward, don't we? We want to go forward in our faith. And I looked in the hymn book just a minute ago to see if that song, Living by Faith, was in the hymn book. And I didn't see it there. It ought to be in there, that's for sure. But we want to go forward for the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Jackson. I told him this morning, one day we're going to get him up here singing. And Irma, don't you quit coming, because if you don't want to sing, I won't let you. I won't make you. But I was sitting right in front of Irma. She has such a beautiful, it's like an alto voice, and she needs to be using. Y'all pray, everybody pray that Irma and Brother Jackson, maybe they can do a duet. I know one thing. I don't know how good it'd be for Brother Jackson, but I know it'll be loud. Amen. But I do appreciate his prayers, and I'm going to ask Brother Jackson, you pray for me as I try to encourage and edify the saints tonight. You be seated. Chapter 11, the Hall of Faith chapter, all these men and women of faith. I'm humbled at the fact that they just was willing to sacrifice and give up everything, even their own life. And like it says here at the end, the world was not worthy of these. Verse 38 of chapter 11. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I'm reminded just now, I didn't plan on saying this, but there was a great missionary, I believe his name was Barton, to Brazil, and he gave us so many years of his life to the mission field. And he was time for him to come home, and he got on the boats. Back then, they traveled by ship. And it just so happened that Teddy Roosevelt, the big bear hunter, I mean, he was a great hunter. If you know anything about Teddy Roosevelt, he loved to hunt big game. And he was on the ship coming back. And the missionary was on the same ship. And he was kind of discouraged and heartbroken, leaving the field. And after plowing in God's vineyard all those years. But when they got back to the port, there was banners and signs and fireworks that said, "Welcome home, Teddy. Welcome home, Teddy." And such a big to-do, you know, about the bear hunter. He was out there killing bears and stuff. And he had such a group of people that were there to greet him and meet him, and big band and everything, and just such a great reception. But the missionary, there wasn't anybody there to greet him. And he got off the ship, and he was walking to his place, and it was kind of going through the streets and a little dark and dreary, and he just felt down. He felt so down. He said, "Lord, I've given my life for the ministry to save souls, help bring souls into the kingdom, and I don't have any reception." And here he is, Teddy Roosevelt. Just everybody welcome him home. It's like the Holy Spirit stopped him in his tracks and said, "Wait a minute, missionary, you're not home yet." Amen. And I think about all these great Hall of Faith people in chapter 11, like Abraham and Sarah, Joseph and Moses. They left it all, you know. They gave up, and they didn't even know where they were going. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going to go. And Abel's offering was accepted of God because it was a first fruit offering, and it was an animal, a sacrificial animal. Cain's was not accepted. And the reason is Cain had a lot of pride in Cain's life, but Abel he had a blood offering which pictured our Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, amen, who takes away the sin of the world, and God accepted that. But in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, you can't see how it's all going to work out. You may have a vision. I have a vision of 200 missionaries at 200 a month. I have that vision, lifelong vision, or a goal, if you will. You say, how are you going to do that? Well, it's going to be God that does it, amen. Laboring together with God, and little is much when God is in it. It says in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Boy, if you can just live out your days, however long that'll be, and you can say, I please the Lord. I hope I pleased you, Lord. Hey, he's the most important one to please, right? Not the pastor, but the Lord. Are you pleasing to God? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. And what is a missions conference? Well, it's a life-growing discipleship class, I think, for the Christian, for the born-again Christian, to step out a little bit more by faith, step out where there's no place to step. I've said this a lot. I think it's in your book. Get out on the limb. That's where the fruit is. Amen. But faith is stepping out. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. So it takes faith. If I had a title tonight, it's, are we all in? Are we all in? Not just missions around, you know, in foreign countries, but here and abroad. I mean, you walk out of these doors, you're in the mission field, right? You're entering the mission field. Our next door neighbors. And it is so important to keep our testimony, because they're watching, aren't they? Especially important for older people who wear hearing aids to be careful, because when you take your hearing aids out, sometimes you have a tendency to raise your voice. I've already told my neighbors, if I'm yelling, it's because I'm deaf, okay? I want them to know. But we have some great neighbors, and I'm thankful. We're supposed to love our neighbors. But are we all in? Are we all in for Jesus? What all he did on the cross, and for you and for me? I mean, he is our best friend. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Your wife is not your best friend. She's second best. But our best friend is the Lord Jesus, because if God takes my wife home, I've still got my best friend. He's the priority. Your walk with God is your priority. if I go before she goes, she's still got her best friend. And there is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. I know some of you here who've lost children. They prematurely died and went to heaven. Jesus is still with you. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Maybe we can sing that before we go out. Jesus is our Messiah. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And we need to spend the rest of our days making much of Jesus, bragging on Jesus, and giving Jesus all the glory and the preeminence. He deserves that. Amen? He deserves first place. And if he be lifted up, high and lifted up, he'll draw men to us. If you don't know Jesus, why not tonight? Why not get saved tonight? Why not just trust him? Because he's the only one that can help you. And he's the only one that can forgive your sin. So, are you all in for Jesus, the Messiah? Are you all in for the missions conference? Amen. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And these missionaries are trying to get to where God has called them with, like the song says, Amazing Grace, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And they're going through a lot, traveling. Are we all in? I know one's coming from North Carolina. They probably will be driving a fifth wheel in a truck. You know how much gas that's going to cost? Amen. I know another one, David Combs from Mexico City. I know he's flying from there. Hopefully he can fly with all the turmoil. By the way, if you've read David Combs, David and Holly Combs' last missionary, that place is in severe danger. I mean, the cartel and such, people are dying. It's just a real dangerous place. But they're flying from San Antonio here. Jim Rogan Camp, we've been up there to the mountains and visited him, and that man is amazing. He was a missionary long before he met Sarah. He was praying for the right wife. Now they have five children. Amen. But he was in what's that city, Chihuahua, near there, Mexico, and Jim. He was like a pioneer. He lived in a pup tent. He lived in an actual tent before he got married, and he bathed in the creek. And he started churches. This was long before he went to the mountains there of Sonora. Is that where it's at? And we drove, a couple of us drove from here through the border there and went through the mountains. And he said, be real careful because those mountains are steep, and the passageway was just really narrow, and you could look down and you could see all the cars that had ran off the road dead. You know, people, it's just amazing. But we got over there, and that little city was just steeped in Catholicism. I remember we went in this Catholic church, and we had some Spanish tracts, and we put the tracts on the altar. They put their idols and candles on the altar and all of that. We put the gospel on the altar. But what a work he's doing there. That was before he got married, and I know he's doing a much better job now with his dear wife and children, preaching the gospel. He's building churches, and he's such a gentle man. He's such a quiet and humble man. He'll just weep and pray, and you're going to enjoy Jim Rogan Camp as well, and then some of these new missionaries. So are you all in on the missions conference? Clear your calendars as much as possible. And be here. Be there for that banquet. Like David said, every single penny is going to go towards their love offerings. And it's just, I've got people really excited. I tell you what, they're coming up to me, and I had a lady and a man say, I want to be a part of cooking for that breakfast. Jessica said that. Jeremy, and there was somebody else wanted to be a part. I think it was Mark back there, said that he wanted to help out with the breakfast and everything. And so it's just an exciting time, and hopefully we can be a real blessing to those missionaries not only financially, but prayerfully, carefully, just know a little bit more about missions and what they're going through. So are we all in for Jesus, the Messiah? Are we all in for missions, soul winning? We are not in the business of cutting missionaries. We're in the business of increasing missionaries. Support. How's that going to happen? Faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And God will bless your faith. Every time you step out by faith, God will honor that and bless it. He sure will. That doesn't mean you won't have struggles and trials and tribulations. You will. A lot of times Satan will back you in a corner. Listen to me. And you'll feel like somebody took a chainsaw and just cut you in half. And you're in that corner. I don't know if we have a corner here. We have a little corner over here. Brighten the corner where you're at, right? But the devil will put you in that corner. And he'll say, you're through. It's over. I got you now. What does it take to get out of that corner? It takes humility. Submitting yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. And when we humble ourselves to God, then we're all in. That's for sure. Are you all in for your church? I thank the Lord for the sweet spirit. I thank the Lord for your prayers. I thank the Lord for your giving. I thank the Lord for your sacrifice. I thank the Lord for Justin playing the trumpet for the first time in a long time. Amen. And Christine was up here hanging these flags. Like I said, the Mexico flag didn't want to go up. The devil fought the Mexico flag right here. But I'm glad it was her up there. Justin, he's like me. He don't belong on a stepladder, but Christine went up the ladder. Amen. I wasn't here, but I'm glad these flags are up for God's glory. Are you in for your church? Are you all in? Teamwork requires being all in. Look at some of these football teams. I know some of you don't give a flip. There is life after football, I'll tell you that. Amen. Even if your Packers lose, Brother Jackson, there's still life. But you look at these Bears, man, these Bears out there, they're just all in, aren't they? I can't say that for everybody. But hey, let's endeavor to be all in for our church. Teamwork makes the dream work. This missions apartment will save thousands of dollars. Some of you painted, some of you donated things, furniture, and just everything a missions apartment would need. It's almost finished. Thank you for being all in. Thank you for loving the Lord. And we're going to put Brother Rogan Camp and his five little children, munchkins, over there. And who knows? It's a blessing to have that. So thank you for being all in, committed to that. We need more faith. We need to be faithful to our Lord. He said, more of a brethren is required in stewards that a man be found what? A man be found what? Faithful. What's the definition of success? Faithfulness. Just keep doing what's right. Do right, do right, do right till the stars fall. Do right and keep on doing it and being faithful. That's success. You won't always feel like doing things, going to church and such as that. There'd be times you have a migraine. And there might be times when you're sick to your stomach. And, you know, but you go on anyway. And you brightened somebody. Your influence brightened somebody. Your faithfulness helped somebody that might have been weak or strained. You were encouraging. You were refreshing. And the Lord will say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God's led you to this church. Praise the Lord. He led you here. Some of you were saved in this church. He didn't do it by accident. He knew what he was doing when he led you to the church. And he's not through with you. Amen. There's a whole lot more he wants to do. Some of you are looking for a church. We're praying. You know why you came here? We prayed you here. Amen. Come on over to Glendale and help us. We need a lot of help, don't we? We need a lot of prayer. We need our hands strengthened for this good work. Okay. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate all the work and the service. I'm going to shut it down. It's time. But I remember where I was. Do you remember where you were at September 11th, 2001? You remember where you were? I was in our little 1,000-square-foot house over there on Saguaro Drive, 5431 West Saguaro Drive. Cliff had came over, and he was painting the door. We had a little pool, and he was painting outside of the pool door, and we had this little tiny television room or whatever you call it, and a little old television in there. Now the televisions are 115 inches long or whatever. But I saw that tower, and well, I'll never forget that image. But what was embedded in my memory were people were jumping out of there to get out of the fire. They'd rather take a chance than to stay in that fire. And you know, there's people all over the world that want to get out of the fire. But they don't know how, or they've never heard, or they're just empty. There's a hole in their heart. They have no peace. The company that printed our booklets, our missionary booklets, a young man, he's really nice, and he's really been a blessing. He said, "How about your church?" He asked two times, asked about our church. And I said, "We're here. We'd love for you to come." I said, "You'll find peace. You'll find out how to get peace in your heart if you'll just come." I like that verse over in Isaiah 26. Thou will keep thy heart on Jesus, you'll find perfect peace. I'm paraphrasing that. And, you know, you find peace in Jesus Christ. But when people come to this church, they hear about how to find peace, not in a bottle, not in a pill, not in a relationship, but in the Prince of Peace. Amen? And he's there, and he's wanting you to be saved. But on September the 11th, 2001, there was a plane and a Flight 93. And what was the name of that airliner? United Flight 93. 44 passengers and crew on that plane. And they realized that terrorists had killed one person and others injured. There was a couple people, one by the name of Todd Beamer. He was in the back. He placed a phone call on the air phone. It didn't go through. It went to customer service. He relayed the message. Said they were under siege. United Flight 93, 2001, September the 11th. Him and a couple others decided, this is not going to end well. Somebody's got to do something. And Todd Beamer, the woman, Lisa, somebody, got the last words recorded from Todd Beamer. He said, "Okay, let's be ready. Let's roll. Let's roll." And they tried to take over the cockpit and save, but I don't know if they were killed, but they were all killed. The plane went down. I don't know. But that's the battle cry even now for terrorists, for people who are fighting terrorism. What am I trying to say? Todd Beamer was all in. He was all in. He said, "Let's roll." Okay, it's time to go. Hey, as Christians, we need to be all in for the Lord Jesus. We need to be all in for His church. We need to be all in for His mission. And that is the propagation of the gospel. What is a church? It's a called out assembly of baptized believers for the purpose of evangelization. We're not just here with no purpose, friends. There's people that need to hear the gospel. And how are they going to hear if we don't tell them? We can't all go to Kenya, although I'd love to. But I'll tell you this, we can send the karaoke's. And they'll win a lot of those Africans to the Lord. We can't all go to Mexico City, but we can send the Combs. We can be a part of their ministry, or Sonora, Mexico, or Morocco, North Africa, I think. You'll see it in your book, where Joy Wilkerson. Get to know these missionaries by names. I want you to do that. When they come in for our conference, know who they are. Just say, don't say, hey, we're just glad to have you visitors. No, they're our missionaries. We want to be a blessing to them, right? Let's stand together. Thank you.